You are listening to Hackers Talk Radio Network.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Rodgers will go conventional. He will do it himself. Touchdown, Packers. Aaron Rodgers into the end zone.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the audience.
Get those back.
So they tried to address the problem, but so far, like you said, nothing.
I guess the bright side is it happened early enough on, but there's time.
What are you talking about? We're going to talk about the pass rush. You can't talk about what's not there.
If we don't start pushing that pocket back and getting some pass rush, we're going to tear the secondary.
Seats in the bowl at Lambeau will definitely outweigh the demand for seats.
Good evening, Packers fans. Welcome to another episode of Cheesehead Radio. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. My name is Johnny Rehor, according to CD, from PackersTalk.com, and I am joined by some of the finest in the Packers blogosphere as my co-host, the aforementioned CD Angeli from Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com, and Jamie Snowden from Cheesehead TV. Jersey Al is not with us tonight. He is enjoying the dulcet tones of Jackson Brown tonight. He'll be back next week. And speaking of dulcet tones, do you know who will be joining us at 8:30 tonight as our special guest? The one and only Bill Johnson of ESPN Wisconsin. Make sure and stick around for his insight on the pack. Want to send out a quick thank you to our sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing, who you can follow on Twitter at Mayfield Sport, and Waukesha Sports Cards, who you can follow on Twitter at Walk Sports. There was a game against a certain team that we may have beaten and finally got an albatross off our neck. I think we should talk about that. Let's go to it.
Jersey Al and Jamie bring you this week's Packer News.
Well, as the title of our show would suggest, the albatross around the Green Bay Packers' neck was removed this past Sunday night after a breathtaking win over the NFC rival Seattle Seahawks. After three games with crazy, last-minute, heartbreaking disappointment endings, every Packer fan in the world was on the edge of their seat until Jaron Elliott knocked the ball out of Fred Jackson's hands just as the Seahawks were driving late in the fourth quarter.
Elliott just might be the answer to some of the Packers' eternal concerns at linebacker. Not only did he steal the game with four fumbles, he made a critical one-handed interception also in the fourth quarter, signing what might have been another Russell Wilson fourth-quarter miracle drive. If the Packers have been looking for a big play alternative to the vanilla play of Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk, they might have found a contender.
Now, while the Packers got out of Sunday night with a big win, they did not come out unscathed. Defensive lineman Josh Boyd was placed on season-ending injured reserve, and two superstars on offense, Devontae Adams and Eddie Lacy, are still questionable to return Monday night against the Chiefs. Now, certainly, backups Ty Montgomery and James Neo Starks played well enough in the reserve play, but now they have to stay healthy.
Packer fans may not have been surprised by the extracurricular activities of the Seahawks. Nothing we're not used to seeing from them. However, they may have been surprised to see Packer offensive lineman T.J. Lang took the brunt of it, receiving an $8,681 fine from the NFL for pulling linebacker K.J. Wright off a pile. Apparently, Wright's grabbing of Richard Rodgers' face mask, driving him to the ground, then pushing his head into said ground was A-OK in the eyes of the NFL. Personally, I think we should start a Kickstarter to pay for the bill on behalf of all Packers fans.
In a bit of sobering news from the Packers family, Bart Starr nearly passed away a few weeks ago from an infection as he continues to recover from multiple strokes that have set our former quarterback and head coach on a long road to recovery. No one was more inspired than us to see his video address at Brett Favre's Hall of Fame induction. We here at Cheesehead Radio and Packers Talk continue to offer our fervent support for our beloved number 15.
As the Packers move on from this past week's rollercoaster, they look ahead to Monday night's matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, or a rare opponent in the regular season for the team. Interestingly enough, the Chiefs have had the Packers' number over the last few matchups, including a perfect 3-0-1 record in Lambeau Field. The last time the two teams met, quarterback Kyle Orton ended the Packers' run at a perfect season in 2011. At least we saw that shiny Lombardi trophy in the Hall of Fame from Super Bowl I.
Thank goodness. And finally, much ado was made about quarterback Aaron Rodgers' zinger thrown at Seattle's Russell Wilson, deadpanning, "I think God was a Packers fan tonight, so he was taking care of us." Certainly some were offended by Rodgers' snark, but an interesting poll from PRRI shows that 27% of Americans, more than a quarter, believe that God plays a role in determining which team wins a sporting event. Do you hear that, Vegas bookies?
And that was the latest Packers news. Next up is Jen from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week's gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
Our first tweet comes from not fan of the show or fan of Jerry Kramer getting into the Hall of Fame, Peter King. The last time Aaron Rodgers threw a pick at Lambeau Field, the ball was snapped on the play by Jeff Saturday. Saturday retired 30 months ago.
Wow, that's crazy. Former Packer and fan favorite Tom Crabtree is up with our next tweet. The problem with Aaron is that he makes touchdown pass he just made look so easy that most overlook it. That's what we call a good problem.
Jay Busby also approves of quarterback one. Aaron Rodgers could throw a key into a lock from across the room.
And Packers guard TJ Lang ends our tweets for the week with this number, $8,681. Price of defending your teammate in the NFL. And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweets of the Week.
I would like to know how that number comes to play. How does one determine $8,681? Roger, I know you listen to the show. Can you give me a call and explain it to me?
I'm sure there's an equation. Yeah. Oh, there. Where is Stephen Hawking when you need him? Huh? Where is he?
I think he's probably working on nuclear physics or something like that.
Yes.
We can try and get him on the show too if you want.
Oh no, we already.
Oh,
already
he was.
Had. Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
He
helped fill in for you. Yeah.
Well, if anybody was going to fill in for me, I guess it would be Stephen. Me and Steve were like this.
Cheesehead Radio brings you Make It or Break It.
All right. Well, a lot of things going on in the Packers world. I think it's a good time to be a Packers fan. We talked last week a little bit about what a big win this was, and maybe in my slightly pessimistic view, thinking, gosh, what are the chances? What are the chances that the Packers will actually win, be 2-0 in the NFC, and essentially own every tiebreaker against the Seahawks, maybe finally getting a playoff game against the Seahawks in Lambeau Field instead of always being stuck in Seattle? It was too good to be true. And voila, it happened. Where are you at now in terms of your confidence 2 games into the season about your Green Bay Packers?
Ask me after week 14.
Hang on, a note. Ask after week 14. Okay, got it.
Okay. We're 2 weeks into the season. Yeah, we beat the Bears. The Bears are not good. We beat Seattle. I'm good with that. Long season still ahead, though. And I actually tweeted that out after the game. We need to enjoy the win after the heartbreak of January, after the inter-touchdownception, which, by the way, happened 3 years ago tonight. Happy anniversary.
Mm.
We need to enjoy the win over the Seahawks, but there's a long season still to go. So am I confident? Yes. Do they have room to improve? Sure.
I love John because he's so just ready to jump up and down and cheer and have rainbows just spewing from him. On the other hand, I think I'm much more excited because while, yes, there's a lot of room for improvement, I see a lot of improvement. I mean, Marshawn Lynch barely ran the ball at all. I asked last week on the show if we could hold Marshawn Lynch to under 200 yards because I didn't think that was possible. And hey, our special teams aren't completely awful. I feel like those are two big steps in the right direction. Not sucking in two facets of the game. Very awesome for me. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that we got a division win and a conference win coming out of the gate. You start off, I mean, look at where Seattle is. Yeah, they could end their season 14-2 at this point, but it sucks to be two conference losses and a division loss to start off your season. That is a hole that you are digging yourself. I'm glad we don't have that hole.
I think, for me, the thing that I'm most encouraged by was the fact that the Packers played against potentially one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, and to a degree played down to their level. It should have been a, 50-2 game. And, it took a little while before we got to Jay Cutler and let him implode, but we got there. The Seattle Seahawks may be, if not the most talented team on our schedule, certainly one of the most talented teams on our schedule. And we played up to that level. That, to me, is so critical because I think that's what we have seen so often from the Packers since 2010. They play well during the regular season. They do well during the regular season. But they get to the playoffs, and it seems like, unlike 2010, they're just unable to click that extra gear that you need. And that may be a sign that as we went through the playoffs last season and coming to this team may have matured and may be ready for their Super Bowl run.
I think another sign of encouragement from the game was that the Seahawks clearly made good halftime adjustments. That's something I think Pete Carroll's always been good at as a coach throughout his career. I mean, I guess I don't really know Patriots and Jets time, but just at USC, he was very good at that. I always felt confident going in the second half as a fan. But clearly, they came out changed in the second half. They had the two good drives. The Packers didn't crumble. They just let it go. It wasn't one of those, okay, fine, it's your game, and change and start freaking out. McCarthy and the offense and Tom Clements, they adjusted a little bit to go more throwing, more using the tight ends, finally, thank God. But the team was able to stick together, to stay with the defensive plan, and to stick with somehow forcing Seattle back to Green Bay's game. And that was encouraging because, like you were saying, CD, you were saying that the Packers play down to opponents, and then when they get good opponents, they can't play up to them. The opponents, in those cases, just sometimes seem to out-coach the Packers. Not that their coaches were better, but just they were able to make those adjustments quicker and see that kind of stuff. And I was encouraged to see the Packers not crumble on Seattle's halftime adjustments.
You know what I was actually happy to see? When Seattle came out, hey man, they're 2-0. I'm happy. This goes with what both of you are saying. So when Seattle came out and they scored those two touchdowns in the third quarter, you know what they did not do? They did not poop the bed and say, we're done. And I wonder how much of that has to do with McCarthy having taken that step back and being able to see the entire thing instead of focusing so much on his offensive game plan that he came up with. That was something to see. And I wonder if he would have done the same thing in years past, if he would have just kind of taken a breath, we're good, everybody relax, we got this. The most important thing is that they won the game. I think from a psychological aspect, they needed to win this game so bad, not so much, to go 2-0, not even so much for the conference tiebreaker, to get that monkey off their back.
The albatross from around their neck.
Any other cliche you want to put in there? I am out of cliches at this moment.
Those are idioms. They're not cliches. They're idioms.
Touché.
Are you calling me an idiom? What? But also, I think it was so important for them to win this game because now they can look past that and go on to the next game. And not this week, but next week, they're going to have another one of those games because they're going to play San Francisco. And I know we have Kansas City to worry about first, but do you think for 1 second they're not going to try and get that monkey off their back too? It's different. But same kind of thing.
I completely agree. I mean, that's mentally, if they had lost, especially if they had lost after winning in halftime and letting Seattle come back in another kind of close fashion, the frustration of that would have, I mean, been very difficult to overcome. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it would have gotten them fired up and ready to keep going, but that would have to be frustrating to keep having their number and then to keep squandering it. I'm glad that they don't have to face that right now.
So, slightly off topic, our good friend Ray Rivard, who posts over at Lombardi Ave, regurgitated a story that I thought was kind of true. You brought up that third quarter and the halftime adjustments, and the Seahawks came out, scored 14 straight points, and took the lead in third quarter. And dear Lord, on Twitter, you kind of thought Packer fans were just racing each other to the cliff. And I just remember thinking, these are the defending NFC champions. I said, we've held most of the game. The game's not over yet. Is there a point where we just have to say, has our Packer fandom start to become a bit spoiled like we used to expect from the 49ers back in the 80s and 90s, or the Cowboy fans in the 90s, that if we're not scoring on every drive and we don't force a turnover on every drive, everything is rotten? I mean, did anyone else get that impression, or is it just me?
It is not just you. In fact, our guest, Phil Johnson, tonight was discussing it on Green and Gold this week, that why do we expect every game isn't a steel curtain defense game? You're playing Seattle. They're going to at some point score some points. It will happen. You're going to have a three and out because your offense is going to not be perfect on every play. And yet, for some reason, I mean, there's going to be momentum swings in the game. I think some of it is, like you said, we're used to the perfection and we want that. But I think some of it is also our seeing the Packers especially piss away the leads that the offense has gotten. You know, okay, we should be able to, you know, have scored all these points and win this game. Or the defense can make this up and give the ball to the offense with 5 minutes left and we should be able to close out the game. And it's just our luck wasn't bending that way. The team wasn't performing that way. So I think it's partially that fear of, well, of course, because that's the way it's happened. But, oh, it was Twitter was bad. I love the Cheesehead TV blog, live blog. I love moderating it. But during that point, I mean, even the fans were like, oh, kick out that troll for saying the Packers suck. Even those people during the third quarter were going, game is over. I mean, I understand the fire capers stuff, but the game is over. The season's over. We're never going to beat Seattle. Like, there's still, you know, 20 minutes left in this game. Let's pump the brakes just a little.
While I am not one who believes in telling fans how to be fans,
because you're a true fan.
Yes, I am. I will say this.
You are a real Packer fan. A true fan.
A true Packer fan, yes.
You really are.
If you are 120 minutes into the season, or less than that, and you are saying the Packer season is over, I would highly recommend taking a very deep breath, holding it as long as you can, exhaling, important, and realizing that the season is 16 weeks long. If you are saying that your Packer season is over because you are losing the third quarter of the second week of the season to the defending NFC champions, I would think, without a psychological degree, that there is an issue that you might have to deal with on a personal level, because that is not normal thinking. Sorry, but it's not. I, believe it or not, am one of the most reactionary fans that there is out there. And even I was like,
yes.
Okay, yes. I have come to grips with that. But even I was like, it's okay. We're down, I think it was 1 point at that point. I think we were losing 17-16. I'd have to go back and look. It's okay. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know why? Because there's 25 minutes left in the game.
Exactly.
I don't think it's being spoiled. I think it's a case of, I can't even pinpoint the proper word, but it's almost like entitlement, expectations. I think everybody's expectations are so high that when they decline even the slightest bit, oh, my God, the season's over. Pack it in. We're done. Relax, you know? I hate saying that word because of last year, or two, mm-hmm. was it 2 years ago or last year? Relax, you know, it's okay.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, now, this week they play the Chiefs. And while we will give our predictions later on, let's just flash forward for a second. If they lose at home to the Chiefs, who are a good team, it's going to be the same thing again. They're facing one of the best running backs in the league. They're facing one of the best defenses in the league. So even though we beat Seattle, if they were to lose at home against the Chiefs, the season's over, obviously, right? Or take a step back, take a deep breath, breathe, hold, let it out, long season left.
Well, I think,
I'm coming
John,
to
what
grips
you said about
with my advanced age. And as I'm coming to grips with that, I'm realizing there are people, you know, Jamie, you know, what are you, 24 years old? There comes a point.
Well, just that, add 10 and we'll be closer, but yes.
Okay, and divide by 2. But anyway.
So I'm 17 now?
Sure. Anyway. John and I are just creepy old men.
What?
No, but there are seriously people who have never comprehended anything other than the expectation of a division title is a foregone conclusion. If we're not winning the division, it's a failure. I mean, that's minimum what we have to do. Minimum. I mean, we should win the division, and we should at least win. We should get at least a first or second seed of the playoffs, and we got to win the Super Bowl. There are people who have no concept of what it's like. There is no team from Favre taking over against the Bengals on. There's not one team in the NFL that has not suffered an extended losing streak. The Packers have never done that. The Packers have never had 2 seasons in a row that have been utterly miserable. There's no other team that can even comprehend that type of entitlement that we have, in which a division title is a foregone conclusion.
I think it gets even weirder than that. Like, I feel like we've taken it to the extreme that, like, okay, not just not having 2 bad seasons in a row. It's like, if you don't hold the opposing team to under 100 yards of total offense, and at the same time get over 500 yards of total offense, this is a failure. That you will be playing good teams that are going to have game planned for you, and you're going to game plan against them. That's not the NFL now. The NFL is offensively built. The other team is going to have a good couple of drives. You're going to have a bad day. Packers will have bad moments. That will happen. I don't even feel like it's not okay to lose a game. It's not okay to lose a quarter. It's not okay to let one of the best players in the league look at what they held Marshawn Lynch to, and then Russell Wilson starts running, and it's, oh, this defense is a mess. No, look at what they did to Marshawn Lynch. It's not a mess. The other team just happened to game plan and adjust to what we were doing. It's not a mess. That's football. That's strategy. Like,
I wonder how much of the attitude, and I would assume it's all fans. It's not just our team. But I wonder how much of it has to do with the advent of things like Madden and being able to play a game where you have total control over all the players on the field and you strive for perfection on every play. I'm just throwing that out there as like some sort of a logical explanation, because, you know, to see these points, I'm old enough to remember when the Packers absolutely sucked, you know. I haven't had to live through a losing streak like that in the last 25 years almost now. So people who are a little bit spoiled with the success of this team really don't know how good they have it. And I wonder if that spoil or that spoiled attitude that some have comes from the ability to control a, quote, Packers team that's in front of you because you're actually playing the game. Once again, just a theory. Well,
all right.
I don't know about theories, but you know what I do know? I do have I know for a fact that our special guest is here.
Cheesehead Radio. Special guest.
Oh, it is never, ever a dull show when we have this gentleman joining us. He comes to us straight from 540 ESPN Wisconsin. He is the man, the good cop, and never boring in the least. Bill Johnson, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's great to be back on. It's been a while. How are
it has.
We're
reveling. We're enjoying. We're basking.
Good.
It's been a good week. We're basking in a 2-0 season. It's all good.
Yeah.
Good, good. How are you doing? What have you been up to?
Well, I actually, in my communications with Jamie earlier today, I let her know because it was usually I go up on Wednesdays, but it's all moved back a day because of Monday Night Football. So I was up in Green Bay today. I was in Mike McCarthy's press conference and Aaron Rodgers' press conference. And in the middle of that, I actually, for the first time, I had some extra time, so I took a trip over to the Old City Stadium, the original home of the Green Bay Packers. It's a high school stadium for Green Bay East High School now, so I'm sure they took out the old bleachers and stuff years and years ago, but it's still the same strip of land, and the way that they've renovated it, it's got a real kind of old school Ronald Reagan football movie look about it. So there was a couple of moments in there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Got to win one for the Gipper.
Yeah, you know, I expected like John Wayne to come up in a floor length fur coat with one of those big megaphones or something, you know.
Oh, that is awesome. No, you're right. It is beautiful, and I would certainly, both Bill and I would recommend, if you've not made a trip out to City Stadium, it has kind of that same brickwork that you see a little bit at Lambeau Field, that kind of retro feel to it.
Yeah, you know, and it's got a couple of plaques up there that honors the Hall of Famers that played there. You know, one of my favorites, Johnny Blunt McNally, who was the Paul Horning of his era. Another one of those guys that was glad they didn't have Twitter when he played. it was cool. It was, and the other thing that was cool about it is, I think Curly Lambeau actually went to high school there too. It may have moved, you know, in that time, but I think that might actually be where he went to high school as well.
I'll bet you Jamie's going to find out within 5 minutes. Is that correct, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll get on Google right now.
She is our stat girl. So while we're doing that, Bill, let me ask you our first question.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers are 2-0. Obviously, what was the feel or what was the meaning for the Packers? Is this something that we are taking too seriously? I mean, we got this title of our show that talks about the monkey in the back and the albatross, and oh my gosh, the Packers have finally beaten Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's week two.
Right.
Are we getting too high? Or is this a good thing for us?
It's kind of like, to use the comparison to the 1980 Olympic hockey team, it's like the Russians, and now they have to play the Finns 14 times. I don't think there's going to be any letdown in it. I mean, the thing that I compare it to, and I should have looked this up, but I think it was later in the season when they finally got the Cowboys at Lambeau Field. I think it was in the 97 season. And they beat the Cowboys at Lambeau Field. It didn't have the same feel to it because the Cowboys were not the same team. They had some retirement and some injury and stuff like that. And you just didn't feel like they had gotten the Cowboys at their peak. It was still good to beat them, though. I mean, if you guys remember that game, I think Deion ran back an interception right at the end of the first half. And then the Packers, I believe, came out and scored like 28 unanswered to just smoke them in the second half. You know, and I guess the jury's still out on Seattle as to whether or not this is still a championship-level team or, you know, whether they've, you know, through some, you know, through aging and through free agent losses and the holdout of Cam Chancellor and some different things, whether this is a Seattle team that's, you know, not quite at the same level it's been at for the last two or three seasons.
Okay, well, Bill, you mentioned the 1997 Cowboys game, and the
right.
Nerd in me has to share this. I actually have a feeling I passed my AP history class in high school solely
right.
because I compared the New Orleans in the War of 1812 to beating Dallas, and the score is 45-17. I will just never forget it that year because it was meaningless, and it was the middle of the season. Dallas wasn't as good, but it was just something you needed to do, and you needed to do it in big, flashy style and just bury them to the ground. And for all the history buff nerds out there, the Battle of New Orleans actually happened after the war was declared done. But it was just one of those things that Andrew Jackson decided we just had to do to really show England, no, like, this is how much we kick your butt. So
oh, sure.
When you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, there's a different team, but it was at that time it mattered so much. And I think, like what you're saying, Seattle is such a different team now with their weird receiving core and the Cam Chancellor stuff, but it's still, by the end of the year, I feel that Seattle is still going to be there. And so to have done this now, and it's almost like them beating us at the beginning of last year. A week one victory really doesn't mean as much. But to get that out of the way, it really boosts you up.
See, I think that they really, you know, and John Schneider is one of the best executives in the league. But for right now, I mean, it kind of looks like he went for the shiny object when he traded for Jimmy Graham and kind of neglected what the strength of that offense was. And the strength of that offense was Marshawn Lynch on the run. And, you know, clearly in the first 2 weeks, that running game isn't nearly what it was when Max Unger was centering that line. They just haven't been able to figure that out yet. They're going to have to get that figured out, and they're going to have to figure out how to use Jimmy Graham. I mean, he's kind of a decoy in the first two games. So, you know, they've got some things to work out, but you know what? A pox on their house. I hope they finish 6-10.
I agree with you on that one.
I'm not 6-10. I'd be happy with them going 0-16, but that's, you know, because I'm a total cynic and evil. But
then right. They get a good draft pick, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, they probably would need a draft, you know, center or something like that. But maybe then they could figure out what to do with Jimmy Graham.
Maybe they'll trade Jimmy Graham to the Packers for J.C. Tretter.
No. Remember, you heard that from Bill, not from me. Let's move past the Seahawks and let's talk about the team we have right now. You know, for 2 years now, Jaron Elliott, every time the guy is on the field in preseason, the dude's making plays. Now, last year he didn't get a lot of action on defense. But again, this preseason, he, you know, was a star during the preseason, and he was the star of the game. You know, punched that fumble out, interception. I mean, is it time for him to start at outside linebacker ahead of Neal and ahead of Perry, in your opinion?
No, I don't know about that, but he's definitely earned some more snaps in the defense because he didn't play that many snaps on defense. He came in, there was an injury on special teams, and Malumba had to take the spot on special teams, and that's the only reason he got into the rotation as far as the linebackers were concerned. And whenever he's on the field, he makes plays. He's near the football, so I think he does deserve some more snaps, but you know, they've got a pretty healthy rotation of guys that are in there right now. But if he continues to be the guy that makes plays, he's going to get more snaps, and he should.
Okay, I will be the first to admit I did not see this run defense performance coming against Seattle. I fully expected Marshawn Lynch to run for 200-plus yards. I was pleasantly surprised. So a two-part question. Number one, is B.J. Raji doing yoga the answer? And second part, can they continue that performance versus Jamal Charles?
But that would be interesting if all of a sudden in your yoga pictures that B.J. Raji would appear next to you doing them, you know? It'd be like him on that discount double check commercial. It'd be interesting. I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to keep doing it. That was, for me, including his interception return for a touchdown in the NFC Championship game, for me, that was his best game. I can't remember him being that dominant. He actually, in that game, with the quickness that he showed on a few plays to get into the backfield, but more with the way that he took up two blockers basically the entire game, he really reminded me of Gilbert Brown at his best in that game. And he was the number one reason why the run defense was that much better. Number two is Daniels, who continues to, you know, $10 million a year sounds like an awful lot for a defensive end in the 3-4, but you know, the more he plays, the more I'm convinced he might be the guy to get that contract. And the third reason is Clay Matthews basically played inside linebacker the whole game. And when, you know, it just makes sense. When you've got your best player on defense playing a position, that position is going to be considerably better. And I think that that was a factor. The other thing, too, and I've just done it here myself as well, but I think we underrate Morgan Burnett an awful lot. And if you want to look at what the difference was in kind of a lackluster defensive performance against the Bears and a great defensive performance for the most part versus Seattle, the difference was Morgan Burnett was back in the lineup. And, you know, it was interesting. People tried to make the jump that, well, Clinton Dix played like crap against the Bears, played better against the Seahawks. It's because of Morgan Burnett. And there's nothing to prove that, but it's the only thing that's right there is the fact that that's true. He didn't play well against the Bears, and he did play a lot better, looked a lot more like the ha-ha that showed all that promise in 2014.
You mentioned about Daniels, possibly earning that big money contract. I know you guys talked about it this week on Green and Gold Today about the players that have contracts coming up, and for some reason it seemed like the listeners or the callers who called in seemed to list Daniels as third, below Bakhtiari on a level of importance. Why do you think that is? Because to me, I mean, Daniels is such a beast. I would almost put him, that's definitely above Bakhtiari.
Yeah, I think that it's just the position itself. I think that the interior defensive line, kind of like the pit on the other side of the ball, those are guys that don't really draw people's attention because you don't really know what they do. We also had one of our smarter listeners tweet me and say that he thought Daniels was invisible. And I pointed out to him that Mike Daniels had 5 tackles, 3 solos, a sack, and a quarterback hit. And it's a pretty good job for a guy that's got a, kind of like Raji, that has to go through 2 blockers to get anything accomplished for the whole game. It's one of those unsung hero positions. And it's interesting, though, with Packer fans, because everybody will talk about the void that was left when Cullen Jenkins wasn't re-signed after the Super Bowl, but then they underrate a guy like Mike Daniels that's really, kind of the poster child for the Packer way, where he's a middle-round draft pick that starts to work his way into the lineup by the end of his rookie year. By the end of his second year, he's a solid starter, and by the end of his third year, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. I mean, that's what Ted Thompson wants to do with his player development. That's the ideal, ladder for player development in the Packer system.
All right. We are talking to Bill Johnson from ESPN Wisconsin right now on Cheesehead Radio. Let's talk about offense for a little bit. We'll talk about defense for a while. Eddie Lacy, he injured his ankle a little bit into the game. James Stark stepped in, played pretty good. I apologize to all the fans out there. I am not one who has ever been sold on James Starks being able to literally carry the load. How confident are you that he can carry the load for 2 weeks, maybe longer, if Lacy is unable to go, or at least unable to go full go?
Well, I could tell by the way you led into that you weren't completely sold on James Starks, because I thought, as far as a backup running back, other than the fumble, you couldn't do any better than James Starks did in that game, where Eddie Lacy went out early, and you got to remember, James Starks goes into a game and he thinks that his job is basically going to be to go in there for a series or two, catch a couple of passes, just be kind of a change of pace guy and give Eddie Lacy a break. And, first drive of the game, he finds out he's got to be the guy, and he ends up having 20 carries for 95 yards. I mean, I don't think you could do any better work than that as a backup. The question with him has always been his durability. I mean, even in his best season, which was the Super Bowl season, part of the reason he was so good down the stretch is because he didn't play until about week 10 because he was hurt. I think that, in talking to Aaron Rodgers today, Aaron Rodgers said that James Starks is one of his favorite teammates of all time because of the way he carries himself in the locker room, but also because of all the different roles that he can play for them as the backup running back. So whether or not he can carry the load, is he going to be Eddie Lacy? No. But I think that especially in this offense, I think that if they decide that they want to make sure Eddie Lacy's 100% healthy before they bring him back, I think he gives them the ability to do that.
Bill, is it possible for you to start referring to James Starks as Neo from now on?
Yeah, you can do that. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, because that's what we call him, because back in the Super Bowl year, it was almost like a Jeff Janis thing to compare it recently. He was injured, and we didn't have a running game, and everyone was like, well, just wait till this guy comes in. He's going to be the one. He's going to be the one to save it. We're finally going to have a running game. So we jokingly started referring to him as Neo from The Matrix, and
yeah.
Now that's the only way I can refer to him. He's not
Neo.
James Stark. He is Neo.
Well, we'll see if we can get that going.
He's the one.
You know, if we can,
we're trying.
If we can sell Wilde and Homer on it, then that'll be his name from now on, is Neo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
but seriously, Wilde's never even seen
that,
The Matrix. I mean, you're going to have to write him about that, too. You got to write him.
That doesn't matter. And Homer's probably seen it. He just doesn't remember seeing it.
Okay, Bill, in stories that are so weird you can't make them up, and I'm really happy you're on so we can discuss this, Ragnar is no longer a Viking. How strange is that? And what is going on with the NFL that fan mascot people have contracts?
You know, I don't know if you heard Green and Gold today, but it was one of our skeptic or believer questions today. Is there anything more Viking than that? You know, I mean, it's one of those things that if you're a Vikings fan and you wake up and the headline about your team is that your mascot wants like 1,000% raise or he's leaving, I mean, you just have to, you know what? We are losers. That's all there is to it. We, you know, they look at themselves in the mirror and they go, man, we are pitiful. I think that is just such a ridiculous story. As soon as Ragnar came in, you know, looking for a raise, I would have shipped him and his Harley off. I would have gone to the nearest biker bar, found another guy that looked exactly like him, and said, here, have $1,000 a game. We'll give you a few beers. Come in and cheer. But the fact is that that's actually a story, and it's actually something that Vikings fans are concerned about. Just gives you an idea where their priorities are and really what a disaster that franchise is, and makes me glad that I live, breathe, and cheer on this side of the Mississippi River.
Indeed. Indeed.
Just trying to imagine some of the Packer fan characters. I mean, what would Steve the owner do if he quit and had to go to another team?
It's true.
Steve the non-owner,
you know?
Steve's just the regular guy going to see a game.
Yeah.
For a team owned by a billionaire, I mean, it doesn't fit on a cheesehead.
But could you imagine that, though, too? I mean, could you imagine something like that where you're the guy, honest to God, you look like a roadie for the Allman Brothers. You drive in on a Harley and you get a bunch of people pumped up in a place where they've got piped in crowd noise, and you have the audacity to go in and ask for that kind of a raise? Seriously? It makes me chuckle. It actually makes me happy.
It makes me happy too, which is why I was like, I have to talk to Bill about this, because it's just so perfect.
It's such a Viking story, you know. It's just like when, you know, they renovated Lambeau Field and it was beautiful, so they had to do it down in Chicago and it's a nightmare. You know, it was just like when the guy came up to a concert in Wisconsin and went to Alpine Valley, and it's this beautiful part of the Kettle Moraine, this natural area. And, of course, with that Illinois thinking, they said, well, let's just take a big pile of garbage in Tinley Park and make it like something just like Alpine Valley. It's beautiful. We're surrounded by morons. It's a wonderful thing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Bill Johnson, he of ESPN Wisconsin. Fantastic guest, never boring. Bill, I've got one final question for you, and this is one of those existential questions that could change your life.
I need your existential question.
Yes, I could tell. So I need you to think about
it. I'll get off my Nietzsche, or we're ready to go.
All right, I have no idea what that is. Anyway, DirecTV contacts you, Bill, and asks you to make a commercial. And you get to go up and say, hi, I'm Bill Johnson, and I have DirecTV. And I'm blank Bill Johnson, and I have cable. What is your dream alternate Bill Johnson personality you want to play in that commercial?
I'm flamboyant exercise instructor Bill Johnson, and I have cable.
Can you do the voice?
And I'm flamboyant exercise instructor Bill Johnson, and I have cable.
You're getting a round of applause.
Yeah. You know, and the funny part of it is, I just thought of that now, honest to God. I had not thought, because I love those commercials. I'm surprised at the number of people that don't like those commercials, because I think they're brilliant. I like all of them. And like colleagues or other people that just follow the teams or watch games that don't like the commercials. I love those ads. I think they're great. But I never thought of my own character until right now. So that would be mine.
Okay. Now, how about Wildy? What would his character be?
God. I
want to hear yours.
I'm Bill Johnson's twin brother, Jason Wildy, and I have cable. I think that would be his biggest nightmare, with the way, you know, to be exactly like me. So yeah, that's it.
And finally, how about Homer?
Oh boy, let me think. This is, you know, he's a Renaissance man.
So we would need the normal character, right?
I'm Occupy New York Homer, and I have cable. I could imagine him too, you know, because he's follically challenged on top, but then to have that, you know, that kind of like that Ragnar look, you know, have his hair go all the way down and, you know, big beard and stuff. That was the one thing about his accident. When he had his accident, he had a beard, and it was a pretty suave look. But yeah, I think that's it. You know, the last thing that Homer would want to be is, you know, a dirty hippie out in the streets protesting capitalism. I think that'd be his least favorite thing.
Oh, I expect you guys to do this tomorrow. I want to hear you guys actually.
I do. I think we'll have to work on that. We'll have to do a series of. Unfortunately, we're in radio, but you know, we do have the website now. So, reminds me, Wildy and I haven't been doing our little videos. We're gonna have to start doing that again too. That's
please.
Yeah.
We gave you the inspiration to start, so take it and run.
Thank you very much. It's always an educational trip when I join you folks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with the amazing, fantastic, and non-hippie Bill Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter at BillJohnson613. You can also catch him over at ESPNWisconsin.com and hear him every day on 540 ESPN. If you happen to be in the area of Milwaukee or check out the website, you can hear him there. Bill, thank you so much for joining us here on Cheesehead Radio.
Anytime, people. Don't
Thanks,
be strangers.
Bill.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Later.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
All right. Great interview. John, who's your DirecTV alter ego?
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. We made it.
You know who mine would be? It would be, if you know who Stephen Wright is.
Yes.
And I'm Ultracom, John Rior, and I have cable. I think that would be me.
Jamie?
Dick Cashman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
At first I was going to say, and I'm healthy, Jamie, healthy and uninjured, but that's something I would someday strive to be. So I went with someday the thing I would never strive to be. That would be mine. How about you, CD?
I would be Chris Collinsworth, CD Angeli. I would just start talking randomly and never finish my sentences and just move from thought to thought, not making really any sense. Although, actually, I suppose
that's
not
different
from what
now?
I do. Yeah. Yeah, never mind. Touche.
What?
Touche. Touche.
Oh, boy. I think it's time for some predictions before we get a little bit.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer Game Predictions.
Well, it's prime time 2 weeks in a row. After a Sunday night game, the Green Bay Packers will be playing at Lambeau Field. It's a Milwaukee game, but at Lambeau Field, of course, against the Kansas City Chiefs, who mysteriously, unexplainably, inexplicably seem to own the Packers in Lambeau Field. How is this game going to turn out? We're going to start with the amazing, effervescent Jamie Snowden.
Well, I wanted to actually add this in the news earlier, but I didn't have time to type it in. 25 years ago yesterday, Packers played the Chiefs on a Sunday. It was a noon game and beat them. I will never forget this because it's also the day that my younger sister was born. So I love it when we play the Chiefs on the week of my sister's birthday. There's no way the Packers lose this game because we have her her great spirit guiding the Packers. And she was very accommodating. She was born at 10-12 so that everyone could be done with delivery and get back into recovery for kickoff, because we had a very strict rule. You did not miss kickoff in my house. So happy birthday to my sister. And she is the reason the Packers will win. Whoever keeps typing in game predictions for me has decided that the Packers need to score 2 points. I put a 7 after that, so I have the Packers at 27 and the Chiefs with a lot of 2s, 22.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Heading over now to Mr. John Rahor.
I have no birthdays to remember wins or losses at this time of the year, so unfortunately, you're just going to get a prediction. I think it's going to be a close game. I think, the Packers have momentum on their side, that dreaded word, after beating Seattle. I think it's going to continue. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I have them winning 31-27.
Wouldn't that be cool to be at that game, John?
At Monday night?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
It would be pretty good. It would be.
I'd be okay with that.
You know?
Yeah.
I might have to look into doing that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Anyway, I'm CeeDee Angeli. My prediction? My prediction is going to be, I think it's going to be a long, hard-fought game. I do think, as I maybe implied with Bill Johnson, there's going to be a little bit of a hangover after a rough game against the Seahawks, emotional game, and obviously all that comes with that. But I do think the Packers pull it out in a very narrow game that I do think that will go into the fourth quarter. Packers 23, Kansas City Chiefs 21.
Okay. Is Stephen Hawking here for Al's prediction?
No.
That's just a John special.
It's a John special. Because Stephen Hawking and John are friends. Al, clearly.
Yes.
Not friends
with
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
But next week, I have it on good record that next week Al will actually bring Jackson Brown to do his prediction, because they're going to be tight after tonight.
Dulcet tones.
Mm-hmm. I think I said the word dulcet more in the opening than ever before in my life.
I think I finally learned how to spell dulcet.
Okay. So on that note, thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, and a special thanks to Bill Johnson for joining us. It is never a dull moment when he is around. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com to get all of our podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk Network page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, so Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll be sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search Packers Talk. If you're on Facebook, again, please like our Packers Talk page and also look for the Packers Peeps group. It's a private group, but if you request to be added, you can listen in and you listen to the show, you're in. Finally, a special shout out. Please, please, please be sure to support our wonderful sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing and Waukesha Sports Cards.
All right.
You know one of my favorite parts of the show is every week? The music that plays
the
right
end?
Now. Well, the end, but not the actual end. Just the outro. Right there. Narrow, 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 narrow.
Some people are easily
entertained. That sounds exactly like it. You actually sound reminding me a little of Vanilla Ice doing the ding, 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 ding.
Don't make me start doing ninja rap. Anyways.
What are you people talking about?
What do you mean by you
old
people?
Oh, whatever.
Go Pack,
remember?
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Eddie Lacy. Mike Daniels. Gilbert Brown. Don Barclay. Micah Hyde. Your Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.